This is the NOCN ESOL International Advanced Level C1 Listening Examination. Please check that your name and other details are on your mark sheet. The invigilator will have explained how to fill in the mark sheet. Do not write on your examination paper. Put your answers on the mark sheet. The listening examination will now begin. Part 1. You will hear 7 questions and 3 sentences. Read the answers on your examination paper. You have 2 minutes to read the answers. Listen to the questions and sentences. You will hear them twice. Choose the best answer.
1. You've changed your job, haven't you? Tell me more about it. 2. Is Maria awake yet? She has to be woken up at 6. 3. This milk is out of date. When did you buy it? 4. My friend is going on holiday tomorrow. 5. When are we going to go to London? 6. I have had my hair cut really short. 7. I cooked a nice meal last night using a new recipe. 8. My friend has started a course at college. Is it the one you are doing? 9. How far is the train station? I need to be there for the next train. 10. When are you going shopping and where to?
Now listen again.
One. You've changed your job, haven't you? Tell me more about it. 2. Is Maria awake yet? She has to be woken up at 6. 3. This milk is out of date. When did you buy it? 4. My friend is going on holiday tomorrow. 5. When are we going to go to London? 6. I have had my hair cut really short. 7. I cooked a nice meal last night using a new recipe. 8. My friend has started a course at college. Is it the one you are doing? 9. How far is the train station? I need to be there for the next train. 10. When are you going shopping and where to? 11.
Now check your answers. You have 2 minutes to check your answers. Part 2. Conversations. You will now hear 2 conversations. Read the questions and answers on your examination paper for both conversations. You have 2 minutes to read them. Listen to conversation one. You'll hear the conversation twice. Answer the questions. Good afternoon. Car hire?
Good afternoon. Can you tell me the cost of hiring a car for a week?
Of course. But there are some things I need to know before I give you a price. What is your name, please?
Phil Marsh. What do you need to know?
I need to know what type of car you would like, the engine size, and your anticipated mileage. Have you any particular colour in mind?
Oh, I haven't thought about those things yet. Well, there are four of us, all adults, so we need space in the car. We need space for our luggage, as we plan to travel around for the week, seeing the sights. I'm not sure what make of cars you have, but I do know the size we need. Does that help?
Yes, it does. We have several suitable cars, all very economical. One is a hybrid, that is a combination of a petrol or diesel engine with an electric motor. They are very easy to use, and there are refueling stations in many towns and cities.
I haven't used one of those, so would rather just have a petrol car, please. I'll have enough to think about driving here anyway. It's not the side I'm used to driving on, so I'll need to concentrate.
Of course. If there's anything we can help with at car hire, please let us know, as we also have instructors who can take you out for a drive, just to get you used to driving here.
I might just do that. Then when we go for the week, I'll feel more confident.
Well, if you call in and see us, we can arrange all of that for you.
Great. I'll call in and see you tomorrow. Thank you.
Now listen to the conversation again. Good afternoon. Car hire?
Good afternoon. Can you tell me the cost of hiring a car for a week?
Of course. But there are some things I need to know before I give you a price. What is your name, please?
Phil Marsh. What do you need to know?
I need to know what type of car you would like, the engine size, and your anticipated mileage. Have you any particular colour in mind?
Oh, I haven't thought about those things yet. Well, there are four of us, all adults, so we need space in the car. We need space for our luggage, as we plan to travel around for the week, seeing the sights. I'm not sure what make of cars you have, but I do know the size we need. Does that help?
Yes, it does. We have several suitable cars, all very economical. One is a hybrid, that is a combination of a petrol or diesel engine with an electric motor. They are very easy to use, and there are refueling stations in many towns and cities.
I haven't used one of those, so would rather just have a petrol car, please. I'll have enough to think about driving here anyway. It's not the side I'm used to driving on, so I'll need to concentrate.
Of course. If there's anything we can help with at car hire, please let us know, as we also have instructors who can take you out for a drive, just to get you used to driving here.
I might just do that. Then when we go for the week, I'll feel more confident.
Well, if you call in and see us, we can arrange all of that for you.
Great. I'll call in and see you tomorrow. Thank you.
Now check your answers. You have 2 minutes to check your answers. Part 2. Conversations. Listen to conversation 2. You will hear the conversation twice. Answer the questions.
How have you got on with booking your holiday? It's nearly all done, but they keep asking me for more and more information. How long are we staying? What our travel plans are, and so on. I haven't received any confirmation of what I've booked, so I'm a little disappointed. We were going to go to Singapore, then fly directly to Thailand, but that doesn't seem possible. I also need to know what clothes to take.
Oh, I thought that booking holidays abroad nowadays was easy and quick, what with everything being online. I know when I went to Dubai, it was really, really easy and pain-free.
Well, we are also due to have the vaccinations we need. We need to have more for Thailand and haven't had them yet.
Is it a problem to get them done?
Yes, our medical centre has to order them and we have to book everyone in and I'm not sure we have the time now. So we could lose our holiday deposit. Honestly, I'm getting so stressed about it. We now might only be able to go to America, then Mexico. Joe will be so cross.
All this fuss about booking a holiday. I'm glad we stay at home. So what can you do now? When will you know where you will be going?
If the medical centre can get our vaccinations, then we should be fine. But time is tight. I also need confirmation of the hotel in Thailand, as they were fully booked when the travel agent checked.
Well, I hope you get to go where you want to. This seems like the holiday of a lifetime.
Yes, it's meant to be, to celebrate our wedding anniversary. Right, I must go and ring the medical centre, then the travel agent, again.
Good luck. It sounds like you will need it.
Now listen to the conversation again.
How have you got on with booking your holiday?
It's nearly all done, but they keep asking me for more and more information. How long are we staying? What our travel plans are, and so on. I haven't received any confirmation of what I've booked, so I'm a little disappointed. We were going to go to Singapore, then fly directly to Thailand, but that doesn't seem possible. I also need to know what clothes to take.
Oh, I thought that booking holidays abroad nowadays was easy and quick, what with everything being online. I know when I went to Dubai, it was really, really easy and pain-free.
Well, we are also due to have the vaccinations we need. We need to have more for Thailand and haven't had them yet.
Is it a problem to get them done?
Yes, our medical centre has to order them and we have to book everyone in and I'm not sure we have the time now. So we could lose our holiday deposit. Honestly, I'm getting so stressed about it. We now might only be able to go to America, then Mexico. Joe will be so cross.
All this fuss about booking a holiday. I'm glad we stay at home. So what can you do now? When will you know where you will be going?
If the medical centre can get our vaccinations, then we should be fine. But time is tight. I also need confirmation of the hotel in Thailand, as they were fully booked when the travel agent checked.
Well, I hope you get to go where you want to. This seems like the holiday of a lifetime.
Yes, it's meant to be, to celebrate our wedding anniversary. Right, I must go and ring the medical centre, then the travel agent, again.
Good luck. It sounds like you will need it.
Now check your answers. You have 2 minutes to check your answers. Part 3. Debate and discussion. You'll now hear a debate and discussion. You'll hear them twice. You have 2 minutes to look at the questions for both the debate and the discussion. Now listen to the debate. The government is planning a new high-speed rail network from London to Birmingham and to Manchester and Leeds, known as HS2. This is a highly controversial plan, and many people are against it. Ministers say it will improve the transport network and boost the economy, but there has been debate about the route of the line and its effect on those living near it. Our studio debate today is whether HS2 will be a benefit once it is completed. With us today are two members of the public, Maria and Francis. Francis, could you start, please?
The first section of the railway, costing £56 billion, is expected to be open by December 2026, with trains travelling at high speed between London and Birmingham before continuing on the existing West Coast Main Line. Of course, journey times will be reduced, but not that significantly. For example, journey times between London and Edinburgh and Glasgow will be reduced by an hour to 3 hours 30 minutes.
But this is fantastic, as surely it will help businesses across the country and travellers will be able to reach their destinations quicker. In addition, the government states that HS2 will reduce air and road travel significantly, as people will be persuaded to use the train.
However, other places further away from the line, for example Wales, probably won't see any economic benefit, and people could lose their jobs as a result, just to reduce travelling time by 1 hour.
But we have to have progress, and this includes better transport to and from London. It has to happen and will benefit so many people.
But so many will suffer too. Job loss, loss of home, disruption to the countryside, the impact on wildlife, the list goes on.
It seems we cannot agree, but thank you both very much for sharing your views. Now listen to the debate again. The government is planning a new high-speed rail network from London to Birmingham and to Manchester and Leeds, known as HS2. This is a highly controversial plan, and many people are against it. Ministers say it will improve the transport network and boost the economy, but there has been debate about the route of the line and its effect on those living near it. Our studio debate today is whether HS2 will be a benefit once it is completed. With us today are two members of the public, Maria and Francis. Francis, could you start, please?
The first section of the railway, costing £56 billion, is expected to be open by December 2026, with trains travelling at high speed between London and Birmingham before continuing on the existing West Coast Main Line. Of course, journey times will be reduced, but not that significantly. For example, journey times between London and Edinburgh and Glasgow will be reduced by an hour to 3 hours 30 minutes.
But this is fantastic, as surely it will help businesses across the country and travellers will be able to reach their destinations quicker. In addition, the government states that HS2 will reduce air and road travel significantly, as people will be persuaded to use the train.
However, other places further away from the line, for example Wales, probably won't see any economic benefit and people could lose their jobs as a result, just to reduce travelling time by 1 hour.
But we have to have progress, and this includes better transport to and from London. It has to happen and will benefit so many people.
But so many will suffer too. Job loss, loss of home, disruption to the countryside, the impact on wildlife, the list goes on.
It seems we cannot agree, but thank you both very much for sharing your views. Now check your answers. You have 2 minutes to check your answers. Now you'll hear discussion. You'll hear it twice. Answer the questions.
Good morning, listeners, and welcome to our daily discussion. Today we are going to be talking about children's use of mobile phones, smartphones and tablets when we're eating at the table. Ashley, I know you have strong views on this.
Yes, I do, Chris. I have 4 children, and it seems children and young teenagers are the worst for this, with a third of them regularly bringing their phone or media device to meals with the family. Research I have carried out with friends and family suggests that technology is also impacting on the time families spend together during mealtimes. They also said that social media sites such as Facebook and Twitter, or messaging apps and emails, are the biggest distractions for children and teenagers whilst they are trying to eat their meals.
So, you feel this disrupts family time and mealtimes?
Yes, hugely. The result is that conversation is limited in favour of communication with friends on social media.
So, what can be done to address this?
I have spoken to mothers who admit to texting or messaging their children to get them to the table to eat, in an attempt to combat the barrier technology creates around mealtimes.
Do you think this would work?
I'm not sure. Half the mothers I spoke to are so fed up that they have resorted to removing technology from the dinner table by either banning it or hiding it from their children. This can then cause arguments, so is not a satisfactory solution.
Why is a family eating together so important?
3/4 of mothers believe that spending mealtimes together is important for family bonding. The effort that goes into preparing meals, only for the meals to be half-eaten, ignored, or quickly eaten while texting or messaging, leaves mothers feeling both frustrated and upset.
Thank you, Ashley, for sharing your views.
Now listen to the discussion again.
Good morning, listeners, and welcome to our daily discussion. Today we are going to be talking about children's use of mobile phones, smartphones and tablets when we're eating at the table. Ashley, I know you have strong views on this.
Yes, I do, Chris. I have 4 children and it seems children and young teenagers are the worst for this, with a third of them regularly bringing their phone or media device to meals with the family. Research I have carried out with friends and family suggests that technology is also impacting on the time families spend together during mealtimes. They also said that social media sites such as Facebook and Twitter, or messaging apps and emails, are the biggest distractions for children and teenagers whilst they are trying to eat their meals.
So, you feel this disrupts family time and mealtimes?
Yes, hugely. The result is that conversation is limited in favour of communication with friends on social media.
So, what can be done to address this?
I have spoken to mothers who admit to texting or messaging their children to get them to the table to eat, in an attempt to combat the barrier technology creates around mealtimes.
Do you think this would work?
I'm not sure. Half the mothers I spoke to are so fed up that they have resorted to removing technology from the dinner table by either banning it or hiding it from their children. This can then cause arguments, so is not a satisfactory solution.
Why is a family eating together so important?
3/4 of mothers believe that spending mealtimes together is important for family bonding. The effort that goes into preparing meals, only for the meals to be half-eaten, ignored, or quickly eaten while texting or messaging, leaves mothers feeling both frustrated and upset.
Thank you, Ashley, for sharing your views.
Now check your answers. You have 2 minutes to check your answers. That is the end of the listening examination. Please check your mark sheet is completed correctly. Put your pens down. End of examination.